You're listening to Bitch Radio, the podcast of Bitch Media, a feminist response to pop culture. I'm Sherston Johnson, the web content manager at Bitch Media. This week, I spoke with Malika Dutt, the founder and president of Breakthrough, a global human rights organization that uses the power of media, pop culture, and community mobilization to inspire people to take bold action for dignity, equality, and justice. Their latest project is America 2049, an interactive Facebook game that takes place in a dystopic, but not so distant, future. I spoke with Malika about the process behind developing America 2049 and how her organization uses popular culture and media to start conversations about human rights.
Well, I know that Breakthrough has done many awesome campaigns in the past. You've done ad campaigns, you did a video game, you've done a successful music video, all tackling social issues. And so I wanted to ask you about if you could talk about how Breakthrough's, your approach to tackling social issues through pop culture, and why you decided to pick a Facebook game for your latest project.
Okay, so let me start with our general approach and kind of how we got that way and got to that place. So Breakthrough uses a four-pronged strategy for social change. One of the strategies is the use of media, arts, and culture as a very integral part of everything that we do. We combine that with community mobilization, both through on-the-ground community trainings and participation, as well as online mobilization. We believe that partnerships are absolutely critical to advancing our agenda because the scale and scope of what you can achieve through partnerships, both with community-based organizations as well as with the entertainment industry, government agencies when possible, basically whatever actors we can get on board to partner with us to amplify the reach of what we're trying to do is critical. And then the fourth strategy is really looking at learning and sharing and evaluation of what we do, feeding back into the loop as a critical part of understanding the impact of the methodologies we use. So that four-pronged strategy is what we use to really try and change culture, because ultimately what Breakthrough is trying to do is make human rights values a part of everyday culture, a part of each and every individual sort of makeup of thinking about how they can participate in being a change agent in the world. And the reason that we got to this place is that, you know, I've been in the women's movement for a very long time, and I was kind of getting frustrated with having the same conversation with the same 500 people over and over again. You know, you went to different conferences or you went to different meetings, and you felt a little bit like you weren't really reaching and expanding the scope and scale of feminism or human rights or, you know, whatever particular issue area that one was trying to work on. So while I was working at the Ford Foundation in India, I started to think about what if we used pop culture in that instance to really talk about violence against women. That was the first initiative that we undertook, and that was the music album and the music video. And in the initial stages, a huge amount of resistance from the entertainment industry, from other women's organizations, from everybody who were either critical of the effort or for political reasons, or thought that it wasn't worth making the effort because it was bound to fail. And lo and behold, our first album, Manke Manjire, an album of women's dreams, along with this music video, ended up becoming this enormous hit. Our music video, which is a story of a woman who walks out of an abusive marriage and becomes a truck driver, almost became like a cult classic. You know, that's how Breakthrough was born.
That's great. That's awesome. What sort of has been your methodology for creating new projects and mediums after that?
So, you know, we've in the interim done a number of multimedia campaigns, another big campaign on domestic violence, which is calling on men and boys to take a stand against domestic violence, is called Bell Bajao, or Ring the Bell. And that campaign has television, radio, and print, along with very strong community mobilization tools. And we reached about 130 million people in India alone, and enormous global response to the campaign as well. And we've also used gaming in the past. We created a video game called Iced, which looked at detention and deportation issues in the United States and how difficult it is to actually become a U.S. citizen, and you played the game by being one of five young characters based on true stories of young people who had ended up in detention or deportation to really kind of illustrate the unfair nature of our immigration laws. ICE was something that also created an enormous dialogue in the country, huge media coverage. About 170,000 people played the game. And, you know, we did a pre and post study of the game to really look at attitude change and knowledge change as a result of our intervention. And so fast forward now to 2011, and here we are on Facebook, because our philosophy is that we really want to bring human rights issues to where people are at and to use the world of media, arts, and culture and technology to magnify that reach as much as we can. And Facebook has emerged over the last 5 years as a very, very important platform. And so with America 2049, we've created a transmedia game which has Facebook is the main platform, a number of websites that connect to the game, as well as partnerships with cultural institutions around the country that are having weekly events that parallel what's going on in gameplay for that week.
Yeah, I've been playing it, and I'm really impressed with all. I mean, it's clear that there's so much work that went into it, and there's it's just really amazing all the things to click on and read that go along with it. Yeah, so America 2049, it also deals a lot with immigration issues, and it also covers disease and racial profiling, human trafficking. And I was wondering how you decided to pick those issues.
Well, you know, when we did America 2049 related research, what we started out with was looking at sort of historical artifacts around migration. And when we talked about migration, we thought about migration not in sort of the limited way we talk about immigration today, but forced migration. So, you know, the history of slavery, migration within the country. So what happened with Native American people, human trafficking, as well as what was the role of women in all of the successive migrations? What have been the kinds of laws and rules and around sexuality? So how has that affected women who might have been brought in to be wives or prostitutes, or how has it affected people who may have been lesbian or gay? You know, the most recent manifestation of that has been how it's gotten connected with the issue of HIV/AIDS and disease. So we looked at issues of labor. So as we looked at migration in our country, we realized that the current debate around illegal, legal, changing demographic was really such a superficial way of understanding the creation of this country sort of at its core. And so America 2049 is really about America at a crossroads and what the kind of social structures and values are that we want to create for us to live in as residents and citizens of this country. And all of those issues impact on us. So we picked the issues because we wanted to build bridges. We wanted people to understand how we are all connected and that we really need to approach solutions together in order to get to a place where the reality envisioned in America 2049 is in fact not a reality that comes to pass. But it is only if we make those kinds of decisions now that we will be able to prevent sort of the path that we are on. So it was really more from that perspective rather than going through a checklist of, you know, labor or women or Asians or Latinas. So it was really more like, how do we create sort of this storyline that integrates this very rich and diverse history of how we came to be as a country?
Cool. I can totally see that based on what I've played so far. Could you talk about if there was a certain, if there was a major changing point or turning point in the development of the game or while developing it?
Yeah, when we first envisioned the game, we thought about it more like a scavenger hunt, almost in like a museum-like environment. And so all these artifacts, all these historical points that I was talking to you about, whether it was something from related to the Chinese Exclusion Act or whether it was from the Trail of Tears or a moment when a human trafficking story came to our attention. You know, we had first sort of really mined posters, music, poetry, kind of cultural expressions of how migration had played out in the creation of the United States. So we thought we'd first create like a, you know, an interactive museum-like environment where you almost went like on a scavenger hunt and you found these different artifacts, and then you could sort of link and tell your own story in relation to that artifact if it connected to your own immigration history. So how we originally envisioned the game sort of ended up being completely different from what we ended up creating. As we went along, we started to find that the environment that we were creating online in terms of this, even though it was interactive, was a very linear way of engaging with our history. It was very sort of one-dimensional. You know, it wasn't helping us capture the connections that we wanted to make between things. So we convened a brain trust where we brought together about 10 people from an interdisciplinary, artists, gaming people, academics, historians, young people, and kind of put the research out there and put this whole idea out there and got lots of feedback. And based on that feedback, we began to think about Facebook as a platform. Now, remember, at the time that we started to develop the game, you know, almost 2.5 years ago, the only thing that was happening on Facebook was Farmville. So even in terms of us imagining creating an augmented reality game that was 12 weeks across Facebook was a huge leap of imagination. But it ended up being a very exciting enterprise, both from the point of view of creating a political thriller narrative that talked about the issues that we wanted, as well as exploring all of these new platforms and tools that were opening up to us as we went along.
Cool. Well, I know that it was two women who sort of headed the development of the game. And I know that's really rare in sort of the gaming field. And I was wondering if that was a purposeful decision.
No, everything about Breakthrough is women. We work on multiple issues, but gender is like an integral part of our DNA. The vast majority of people who work in the organization are women. And Heidi, who was the lead designer, is our multimedia director. And she, along with Andrea, who worked on the narrative with her, really took the lead in producing the game. But, you know, Heidi was a part of the Breakthrough team, you know, from the get-go. And so even when we created Iced, Heidi was the lead designer of that. You know, a bunch of stuff that we've created has had women at the cutting edge. And it's been very exciting. And you're right. I mean, in the gaming world and sort of the technology world, there really aren't that many women sort of at that forefront. And so, you know, I kind of feel like we're breaking through, to not sound too much like an advertisement for the organization, but I kind of really feel like we're breaking through a whole bunch of different barriers with what we've been able to accomplish with America 2049.
Cool. Well, I know that Breakthrough, you do work both in the United States and in India, and I was wondering how this pop culture and media platform has, how you see pop culture working as this very transnational medium, if it sort of helps facilitate communications and social change?
Absolutely. I mean, I deeply believe that, and that's one of the reasons why media arts and culture and pop culture are such an integral part of our strategy. You know, when I created Manke Manjire, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, really. I was a lawyer. I was a policy wonk. I had worked in public policy, philanthropy, advocacy, community organizing, you know, really came sort of from a traditional progressive organizing space. And when I started to produce Manke Manjire and, you know, started to get all of this pushback from people, I wasn't really thinking about a global audience. I was trying to figure out how a music video on this set of issues was going to speak to an Indian audience. And within that Indian audience, it was a huge audience. It was a very diverse audience. What would be the best ways to sort of capture the imagination of a lot of people, right? So this music video with this woman who becomes a truck driver, I mean, it was radical enough, right, that she walks out of a DV situation and then she's, like, driving around on a truck and there's all these women dancing on the back of the truck and they're rescuing other women who are running out of domestic violence situations. If you get a chance to watch the video, you should, because it's very cool. But anyway, it ended up becoming this huge hit in India, but I was getting emails and faxes and phone calls from all over the world. And the reason for that is that, A, now we have satellite television. So even if something's on Indian television, it's actually getting picked up in a whole bunch of other places, or people are watching it, you know, through Dish or whatever. And I wasn't even thinking about this. So that was one thing that really was quite a big surprise. I was getting emails from the Philippines, from Kazakhstan, from Mexico, from Chicago. And then I was inundated with requests for subtitles. So people were writing to me without understanding a word of the lyrics. They were just seeing the music video, right? And it was in Hindi, so it wasn't even like they could understand what the song was saying. But then I started getting requests for subtitles. So we subtitled the music video into Spanish, English, and French. And I cannot tell you how many thousands of groups around the world have used Man Ke Manjeere as a way to talk about women's issues in their communities that have absolutely nothing to do with India or Bollywood or the Indian music industry, right? So that, for me, was the first understanding of the power of popular culture across cultures and boundaries and languages. Yeah, no, it was amazing. When we did Iced, the video game, we discovered that about, I would say, 65 to 70% of the people who played Iced were in the United States. The remainder were from all over the world. We had people playing from Mexico, from Brazil, all over Europe, the Philippines. Right now, we're tracking media coverage of America 2049 and players. We've gotten media coverage in all kinds of East European countries. We've gotten media coverage in Spanish. We've gotten media coverage in Vietnamese. And we're using Google Translator to translate these articles so we can read what they're saying. People are tweeting about America 2049 in a whole bunch of different languages. And here we have a game that's very specifically contoured around the history of this country. But the issues that it's raising and the medium that it's using are global, right? Both in terms of everyone is facing similar crises. We're at a global crossroads. And then the pop culture online space allows crossovers to happen that are just very exciting.
Cool. Very neat. I know you have another call, so I just have one more question, and it's about what pop culture you like to enjoy or what you're enjoying right now as far as what's out there in popular culture.
Well, I do two things, one of which is extremely unfeminist, and I probably shouldn't share that on this blog, but I love reading Victorian romance novels.
Awesome.
Which have nothing to do with anything, but I love reading them anyway, and in terms of pop culture combining technology, you know, my Kindle app on my iPad is one of my most used apps, and I'm in bliss because now I can sort of wander around the world with all my books in one place. You know, that's a great way for me to kind of just unplug from everything that's going on around me. And then the other thing that I love is Hindi film music. I love Bollywood music. I especially enjoy Sufi music, which is kind of mystical, spiritual, but really combined with sort of contemporary stuff. And so I love all my gadgets that allow me to use my music and, you know, get lots of it in one place and travel with it everywhere I go.
Great. Well, yeah, thank you again for talking with me. And yeah, the more I read about Breakthrough in America 2049, the more excited and about it. So.
Well, I'm thrilled to hear you're playing, Kirsten. So thank you.
Read more about America 2049 online at bitchmedia.org/post/America2049 and find out more about Breakthrough at breakthrough.tv. This podcast featured the song Man Ke Manjeere, which was produced by Breakthrough and Malika Dutt. Bitch Media is a nonprofit organization, and we rely on the support of listeners like you. Visit bitchmedia.org/donate to find out how you can support what you love. Visit bitchmedia.org/audio for other audio segments, or search for Bitch Radio on iTunes. And we'd love to hear what you think, so email radio@b-word.org with your feedback. And as always, thank you for listening.